Don Kisushan Aruch, Perk Yudalev, the 14th chapter, the second paragraph of Bet. Before we begin, I want to remind one point that the Kisushan Aruch gives us the bottom line, what should you do? But he doesn't tell us which things are din, which things are minhag, which things are critical, which things stem from Kabbalah, which things there are arguments on. He just tells you, bottom line, is how you should behave. And when one learns halacha more in depth, he's supposed to get an understanding of which things have a source in the Gemara, which things have a source in the Shonim, which things have a source in Achronim, which things are critical, which things are ideal, which things are preferable, which things are midat chasidut. I try to make mention as we run through it, in passing, without stressing too much, where the halacha comes from, what he's saying. We're entering a realm over here where he's going to mention many things which are customary, but they're not really halacha. They're the way people have a custom, and there's a source for this custom, but they're not really halacha. For example, he's going to begin by telling us that in Baruch Shamar, we're chapter 14, the second paragraph. In Baruch Shamar, you should hold your tzitzis, the two front tzitzis in front of you in your hands, and say Baruch Shamar standing, and when you finish, kiss them. That's the custom. It's not something that one must do, it's something that one should do. That's the custom. That's an example. So the Kitz Shulchan Aruch tells us when we're going through Psukei Dezimra now, from Baruch Shamar, the chapters of praise that we say, including Ashrei and Hallelukas, ending with Yishtabach. And we discussed last week that really our sages instituted as an introduction, as a prelude to Shmon Esrei, we're about to end before our Creator. Our sages instituted we should say these verses of praise that are supposed to encourage us to feel closer to our Creator, and they said that prior to saying these verses of praise and after saying these verses of praise, we will say a blessing. The blessing that introduces them is Baruch Shamar, and the blessing that ends them off is Yishtabach, as we discussed last week. Well, once it's Baruch Shamar, one should hold the two front tzitziot in his hand and say Baruch Shamar standing. When he finishes them, when he finishes the blessing, he kisses the tzitzis and lets them go. And then when one says Psukei Dezimra, the verses of praise, one is supposed to say them calmly, pleasantly. We're praising our Creator, so it's something we're supposed to be saying in a nice fashion. Sometimes I like saying them at home. I like showing up to shul with my talis and so on after I've said this on my own at home, because in shul very often they run to that's not the idea. The idea is you're praising God. You're supposed to feel closer to God. If you want to do that, you have to have the peace of mind to do it properly. So that's why some people come to shul early and say it slowly that way. However it works, sometimes it's better to say less and say it properly than to say more and not understand a single word we're saying. A person is supposed to be careful with everything he says, and in prayer we say it should be the way a person counts money. I always joke when people give me money to count, I count it quickly. Because I pray quickly, I got to count quickly. But the idea is, just like you're careful with each, if you're counting $100 bills, then you count them one at a time, you make sure you get each one. But same token, when a person prays, he should be careful to say the words one by one, to say them carefully, to make sure you got each word right. The person has to have intent, the meaning of each word simply. We're not looking for Kabbalistic deep intentions. The simple understanding is what a person should have in mind when he says any blessing and any prayer. There's one verse which is most important throughout these verses of praise, and that is the verse Potech et Yadecha, God opens in his hand, Masper Chochai Ratzon. And on that verse, if a person did not have in mind when he said that verse, he has to repeat it. When we say in Hodu, in the praise, right after Baruch Shamar for Ashkenazim, right before Baruch Shamar for Sfardim, we say Kichol Elohei Ha'amim Elilim, all the gods of the nations are like idols, they're worthless. V'Hashem Shamayim Asan, God made the heavens, God really created the world. So one has to be careful to pause at that point. Kichol Elohei Ha'amim Elilim, all the gods of the nations are idols, they're really worthless. If one continues, and Hashem, that sounds like one is saying all the gods of the nations are worthless and Hashem. As though he's adding God to the worthless. So that's why we say one should pause over there. Say, Kol Ha'amim Elilim, all the gods of the nations are idols, they're worthless. Pause. V'Hashem Shamayim Asan, God, He made the heavens, He really created the world. One has to be careful when you sing Sukkot Zimra and certainly the rest of prayer from the time we say Baruch Shamar and on, one has to be careful that his hands should be clean. What does it mean to be clean? Not to touch parts of the body that are covered. I mean, if one wants to scratch his back, one may not do that. One wants to scratch his head, one may not do that. One wants to pick his nose, he may not do that. Scratch the inside of his ear, he may not do that. We're not supposed to touch any part of the body that is dirty. And we say that the parts of the body that are covered usually have some form of sweat on them, and that's why one is not supposed to, while he's learning or praying, touch, scratch his back. That's why you'll see some people in the middle of prayer, they'll take a pen and scratch their head. Or they'll scratch their head with the yarmulke. Why? Because the idea is that if you scratch your head with your hand, then we consider your hand unclean, and the hand has to be either washed or rubbed on something in order to clean it off. After Baruch Shamar, so we say praise, one of the praises that we say is Mizmoles Tudah, the song of thanks. And that song was instituted in prayer, so to speak, in place of the sacrifice that we would bring in thanks. And that's why when one says that verse, one is supposed to say it happily. When we say Mizmoles Tudah, when we say that verse, the person is supposed to be happy, he's supposed to think he's thanking his Creator. When we got married, so there was a period of time when we didn't merit to have pregnancy. And month after month passed, and then a year, and then more time, and then... So we went to Rabbi Halberstam Zatzal, and we asked which verses he recommends that we should say. Verses in Tehillim, and he told us which verses he recommends. And then my wife got pregnant. And we came back to Rabbi Halberstam, which is something you guys should know. People very often come to the rabbis to give them their troubles, and they never bother telling them that things got better. So rabbis very often complain, all I hear about are tzaras. People only come to you when things are going bad. When they're going bad, people show up and they say, oh, this isn't going good, this isn't going good. You should also share good news with the rabbi. The rabbi also wants to hear about good things. Really? Oh, true. Rabbi Avram Shapiro told us that once. I brought him once a person who was having problems with his business. He wanted his blessing. So Rabbi Shapiro told him, I'm going to pray for you, but I want you to know I'm going to pray for you every day. And you owe me one thing. When things get better, tell me. I pray for people sometimes to have children, and 3 years later I meet them with children and they never bother telling me. I just stop praying. I'm still praying, crying my heart out for them. They don't tell me. So you guys should know it's important to share good news with the rabbi too. So we came to him and we asked him, okay, now what verses should we say? So he said, say the same thing. He said, turn on, add Mizmoles Tudah. Add this praise of thanks. So thank your Creator. You married it. There's pregnancy. It's a blessing. So add this praise. So I'm talking about outside of prayer, psalms that we were saying externally. So when one says this, one is supposed to stop and think, hey, I'm thanking God. I'm happy. God gave me a lot of blessing. Thank you. Now, this is in correspondence with a sacrifice that was called the Korban Todah, sacrifice of thanks. And that sacrifice was brought in a fashion that you had to bring 40 loaves of bread with it, 10 of which were hummus and 30 of which were matzah. Now, we have a rule when we bring a sacrifice that the Torah gives us a period of time when we may eat the sacrifice, and it has to be consumed within that period of time, and if we don't, we've transgressed. The Torah tells us the sacrifice of a Todah has to be eaten within 1 day. And in the temple, whenever we discuss a day, it's the exact opposite of everywhere else in the Torah. Everywhere else in the Torah, the day begins with the night, right? Shabbos begins with the night between Friday and Shabbos, and then you have Shabbos morning, and the day is over when you reach the night between Shabbos and Sunday, right? So throughout Judaism we know the day begins from the night. The 24 hour period begins with an evening. When it comes to the temple, it works the opposite. The 24 hour period always begins with the morning. The temple is one odd man out. So when the Torah tells us that you may eat a sacrifice for a day, the Torah means a 24 hour period that begins with the morning, with sunrise, with Alos HaShachar. So the Torah tells us one wants to bring a sacrifice of thanks. He may bring it with the 40 loaves of bread and must eat it within a day. Who can eat 40 loaves of bread within a day? The idea is that you have 40 loaves of bread, you can't eat them within a day. You'll start inviting people. You'll make a big meal. People are going to come and you'll tell them, hey, join me, I can't finish my 40 loaves of bread. Come, have some bread, have some of my sacrifice. People are going to come and you're going to tell them, they'll ask you, what are you bringing the sacrifice for? And you'll tell them, oh, you know, God did me this wonderful thing. I was stuck in this situation and that situation. I was lost in the desert. I thought I'd never make it out. I was in jail. I thought I'd never make it out. I was crossing the sea and I thought I'd never make it alive. All kinds of things that a person thought he wouldn't make it, and finally he did. The person was terribly ill and he got better. And then he brings this sacrifice, and then when he brings it, he has 40 loaves of bread. So he invites a lot of people and he tells them how God helped him. That's the concept of Mizmoles Tudah. That's the concept of the offering of thanks. Now the problem is that 10 of the loaves of bread are chametz. And
one may not bring that sacrifice on Pesach. You can't bring that sacrifice on Pesach, and I'll not have chametz. So that's why this phrase, which corresponds to that sacrifice, is not said on Pesach. On Pesach we skip this, even on Chol HaMoed. What about the eve of Pesach, when one has to stop eating chametz 4 hours into the day? So we have a rule that whenever you're bringing a sacrifice, you don't do something that will minimize your ability to finish eating the sacrifice. If you bring a sacrifice of Todah the morning before Pesach, when 4 hours later you will not be able to eat the loaves of bread because you're not allowed to eat chametz, so you're minimizing the amount of time you may eat from that sacrifice. You might have to burn some of the loaves of bread because you brought it in an inopportune moment. So therefore, one may not bring a sacrifice of Todah even on the eve of Pesach, and that's why we don't say Mizmor LeTodah on the eve of Pesach. What about the eve of Yom Kippur? You're not going to be able to eat from the sacrifice tonight. Ordinarily, you're allowed to eat through the night, as we discussed. So then, that's why we don't say Mizmor LeTodah on the eve of Yom Kippur, because the praise corresponds to the sacrifice, and the sacrifice was not brought at any time that we would compromise our ability to eat from the sacrifice. Is that clear? Yeah?
What was brought in on Pesach and the Beit HaMikdash instead of the shulbread? Because it is common, it is a kind of sacrifice that we are doing.
I don't know. I don't know. It's a good question. I never thought of it. I have to check. I don't know. Remind me. I want to check. It's a good question. Back to, they weren't coming. Were they? I don't remember. Okay.
You check it turns out that no one ever thought of it before.
No, don't worry. She just said it. Okay, on Shabbos and Yom Tov we don't say this praise of thanks as part of our prayer, because on Shabbos and Yom Tov we don't bring a personal sacrifice. We don't donate sacrifices for Shabbos and Yom Tov, and this was a sacrifice that was donated.
Really?
Yes. We don't ask for things, because Shabbos is a time where you're not supposed to be wailing. You're supposed to be enjoying the Shabbos peacefully. So Shabbat imi nizok. Shabbat is a time where you're not supposed to be asking for your personal needs. This is a sacrifice of thanks. So that's a sacrifice which a person donates. Extra donations aren't brought on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Let's say a person shows up late to shul, and he finds the congregation praying. And if he prays according to the regular order, he won't make it to Shmoneh Esrei with the congregation. And we know the main point of praying with the congregation is to make it Shmoneh Esrei with the congregation. So then we say he could skip, as we've discussed in the past. There are a few blessings he should not skip. He should wash his hands and make the blessing on Tzivas Yadayim. He should make the blessing on Torah and Elokai Neshama prior to skipping. Maybe he'll skip everything past Yistavach. He'll start with the blessing of Yotzer Or. But these blessings he should make. What does it mean to say the prayer with the congregation? Let's say you're not going to make it for the congregation, but you'll make it with the Shaliach Tzibur. You'll make it in time that he's saying it. So here there are different opinions, but you could go with the opinion that says that that's also considered like you're praying with the congregation. Right? If you made it at least with the Shaliach Tzibur, that's also like you made it with the congregation. Sure.
Things that
That's okay, and the same thing is true of Shmoneh Esrei. If you started Shmoneh Esrei with the congregation, you don't have to think about it again. You started on time, now if they go through everything while you're in your middle of Shmoneh Esrei, you don't have to worry about it. The only thing is, if you're in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei and they're saying Kaddish, Kedusha, so then you should just be silent and have in mind that they're saying it for you also. It's a shock to saying it for you also.
But it's not that when you're assuming the Shmoneh Esrei, then you're
correct. Until you reach Elokai Neshama, you can't answer the question.
Also, though you're allowed, right, if you're running late, you're allowed, right, if you start the Shmoneh Esrei at the same time as the Tzibur, so he reaches Kedusha, and you would have reached Kedusha, you can say it aloud, right?
Right.
Then you say it with me.
So let's say a person is running late to shul. What does he do? He washes his hands, says al netil kedayim. He says the blessing of the Torah, and he says the lokai neshama. He puts on his talis. He puts on his tefillin. If he sees that he won't make it unless he skips, he can skip. We've discussed the order of skipping. The bare minimum that he can say is he could skip till after Yishtaba and begin with Baruch Hashem, Lokeinu Melech Olam, Yitzor Hol Uvorei Choshech. And the other skippings we've discussed in the past, the order of skipping, we have a few classes on that on the web. We discussed it here a few weeks ago. Let's say a person comes to shul and he doesn't have a talis and tefillin. So he's going to borrow it from someone. So ideally, if he could get talis and tefillin right after Yishtabach, so he'll put them on after Yishtabach. He finishes Yishtabach before the blessing of the Torah, he'll put on his talis and tefillin and make a blessing on them. You could make a blessing on a borrowed talis. The idea is that you make a blessing on a talis that's yours. And we say that if someone lent you a talis, so he had in mind that you should be able to make a blessing on the talis, and that means that he gave it to you a gift on the condition that you'll return it. If it's borrowed from the congregation, then it depends a little bit. And usually we say the congregation has in mind that each person can acquire it. The question is, if on Shabbos can you acquire it? If some will say that on Shabbos you shouldn't make a blessing. We say that ordinarily the congregation has in mind that they'll give it to you as a gift for the period you need it to make a blessing on it. Yeah? That's the way it should be. I don't know. You have to show me that to do it. Sounds strange to me. Show me. I don't know. I never saw such thing. Show me.
What did he
said that some siddurim are printed. They only place the blessing of on the talis and so on after Yishtava. I never heard of such a thing. I don't know. Show me the siddur. It sounds very strange. Very suspicious. Okay. After Yishtava, so the Shaliach Tzibur says Kaddish, right? What we call Chatzi Kaddish, which is the basic Kaddish. Damiron Balmavim Ru Amen, it ends there, without Tiskabel, without our Rabban Matamideon, etc. Just Damiron Balmavim Ru Amen. And after that he says Barchu, and we have the blessings which are aligned, the two blessings prior to Shema. And that within that blessing we have the Kedusha, right? Kadosh, 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 and Baruch Kvod, Baruch Kvod Hashem Olam Ve'ed. In order to say Kaddish, in order to say the Kedusha, ideally, in order to read in the Torah, you need 10 male adults. And we know that in Judaism, in order for a person to be considered an adult, he has to be 13 years of age, and to have brought two pubic hairs, that any child that reaches the age of 13 is an adult. When it comes to rabbinic issues like this, like saying things of holiness, when it comes to biblical issues, then we say that we cannot assume that every 13-year-old became of age. That's why some will have the custom that on Shabbos, we have Shabbos HaGadol, we have Shabbos Zohar, right? We read the remembrance of wiping out Amalek. And that's a biblical mitzvah to read that parsha, that segment of the Torah. The Torah says, remember what Amalek did to you. And once a year we have a mitzvah to read to remind ourselves what Amalek did to us, as the Torah says, remember. That's a biblical commandment. Let's say a child has a bar mitzvah on the Shabbos when we're supposed to read that. That's the Shabbos directly near Purim. So many have the custom, it's a German custom, that we don't let any bar mitzvah child do it. Some children, when they're bar mitzvah, they have a full beard. You know they're adults. Some children, when they're bar mitzvah, they look clean. You don't know if they've ever brought two hairs. So the custom is not to embarrass any child. We don't let any child read, anyone that's bar mitzvah, we don't let him read this parsha. It must be someone who's an adult. We need 10 adult males for a minyan. And females, well, we'll have a class for females, we'll discuss females, but right now we're having a class for males. So for our purposes, we need 10 adult males. If you do not have that, then he cannot say Kaddish.
Because things of holiness, like Kaddish, require sin. Sometimes you're out in Europe or somewhere where they don't have a minion. They're waiting. A tenth man will come in time for Shmoneh Esrei. So you have to pray as though you're praying alone until you have ten. You don't have ten. Some want to say, well, take a child and let him hold the Chumash. We don't go with that. You need ten, and ten is ten. If you don't have ten, you could wait. Sometimes people can't wait, so you don't wait. What can you do?
Question.
Yeah.
By the beginning, if there were ten,
and then you lose one?
Uh-huh.
That's a little complicated. We say you could finish the segment you're in. And how you break up the segment depends on where you're holding. Meaning if the Shaleach Tzibur is in the middle of repeating the Shmoneh Esrei, you could finish repeating the Shmoneh Esrei. We say whatever segment, let's say they had 10 and they started something that requires 10, and then a person walked out. So we say they may finish that segment which they're in. And then on each issue we have a discussion how you break it down, what is considered that segment. But they may finish that specific segment. We don't say the Shaleach Tzibur has to stop because one person walked out. We say it could continue. But what's important to know is that if you have 10 people there, then the only way that the Shaleach Tzibur can say Shmoneh Esrei, Chazar Sashat, and the only way he could say Kaddish is if all 9 answer. And it's important that everyone answer, because if you don't answer, then you're making it him say a blessing for naught. So that's why I don't like praying in a minyan there are exactly 10. Because most people don't know this halacha, and they're not careful to answer every amin. And then you're sitting there in a fishy situation where you're... At least I try not to be the chazan if there are exactly 10. Why should I be stuck as they're not saying amen? And people very often don't say amen. Unfortunately, it's not right, but they don't. Yeah. Yeah.
If you've already davened a certain part of this thing and then turned to me, can you be part of the minion even though you're not davening?
Yeah.
You're just like standing there.
We say that you need to have a minimum of 6. The majority of the minion has to be a minion that hasn't yet prayed. If you could have up to 4 people who have already prayed, it's not ideal, but it is possible. When we count people for a minyan, so we have to be careful not to count people's heads, because the Torah tells us we're not supposed to count Jews by numbers. You could count people's hats, you could count people's fingers. The custom is to count with a verse. We have the verse, Hoshia et amecha uvarech et nachlatecha. That verse has 10 words in it, and that's how usually they count. They say, we have exactly 10 in the room. Right? That's how people count. That's the way of counting without giving people numbers. We what? The what?
The
motzi. Very good. I never realized that. Yeah, motzi lechem min haaretz. That's a good way of doing it, right? Okay, you could use anything you want. We need to have all 10 people present. Here we have many complicated laws about where you could stand and you'll be part of the minion. But ideally all 10 should be in the same room. Here there are different laws, the bigger room, where the chazan is, where the congregation is. We're not going to go into all that. We have to try and be careful to hear Kaddish and then to enter the Kaddish with Kavanah. And Amin Yehi Shmei Rabbah, there's a story in the Zohar that a certain Tano was looking for a son-in-law who would be his good son-in-law, and he saw a young man who jumped from a roof down when he saw they were saying Kaddish. He wanted to hear it and answer it, and he said he jumped from there in order to hear Kaddish. He's going to be my son-in-law. That's how he chose who he wants for his daughter. So this is quoted in the Beit Yosef. I don't learn Zohar. It's quoted over here in Halacha. People very often are quick to leave shul and they're not worried about missing a Kaddish, and in truth it should be the other way around. We should try to run after entering Kaddish. It's considered a great blessing. We have tradition that if someone enters Kaddish with all of his strength, so in heaven they will tear, even if 70 years from now he was supposed to have something bad happen to him, they tear that ruling in heaven. So what does it mean to enter Kaddish with all of one's strength? So one understanding is that you yell. I was once at the Kotel and we're answering Kaddish, and the man next to me is yelling his head off. Here, hey, Shmei!
What?
Big guy, yeah.
Loud.
Loud, very loud. Like I was standing, I wasn't even part of his minion, and I couldn't focus from his yelling. I don't remember. So, this goes back 10 years. I was contemplating telling him something, because the halacha says that when someone makes a blessing, you're supposed to answer amen at the same volume that he made the blessing. But he didn't. He says it much louder. So I went and I looked it up, and then I saw that no, when it comes to Yehishmei Rabbah, it's different. There we have a tradition that one is supposed to say it with all of one's strength. So the understanding that most people go with is all of one's strength means your focus, your concentration. You think, may God's name really be blessed forever and ever. But there is an understanding that says that all of your strength means you yell it with all of your might. Now, you stand in the shul and you do that, people look at you like you're strange, so it's not a good idea to do that. You can go with the other understanding. But he did have halachic validity, so I didn't tell him anything. He has a right to go with that understanding.
Also,
that's beautiful. You should know, I go to Karlin, I try to go when Rav Albert Sam Zatzal was alive. I recommend that every person here take a trip at least once in their lifetime, go to the Karlin Shul and pray with him. It's in Nash Arim, next to where Rehov Hoshea and Yoel meet, around the corner. If you're coming down Yoel from Nash Arim, right after you pass Hoshea, you make a right, and on your left you have a huge Karlin Beis Medrash. I could show you on a map. I don't remember the exact location. I recommend for every person to go there. I go there, I used to go there on a permanent when Rav Avraham Zatzal was alive, and I'd go to learn by him. So he lived right near their Beis Medrash. I'd always try to go and pray there. There's something so special about praying in a shul where everyone's yelling. when we pray, we all stand and think about the guy next to me. We pray softly, we pray nicely. You can't put your heart into it like when you're yelling. And when you stand in the shul where no one knows you and everyone around you is yelling in their prayer, you feel comfortable yelling in your prayer. And the prayer comes out differently. What can I tell you? Yeah, but you should just know one thing that they do, which is a little difficult. All of the Psukei de Zimra from Baruch Shamar to Yishtabach, they're yelling and they go at a very nice, slow pace. You could actually focus and follow. Once they reach Yishtabach, they fly. I don't know why. I guess there's no more yelling. I don't know. From Yishtabach, Shmon Esrei, they go relatively quickly in relation to everything until there. But I recommend every person does that at least once. You might like it like I do. And whenever I feel I need a boost in my prayer, I go to them to pray. I take a trip out to Mesh Shearim, and I pray in their shul shachar.
What's your name?
Karlin, Yerushalmi Hasidim. If you want, I'll draw you a map after class.
Sure. Also, the breakfast, do you...
I don't know. Okay, so we said one should try to enter Kaddish with all of one's strength. Person should be careful if he's yelling in a weird way. People are going to make fun of him, and he's causing them to sin. If you cause people to make fun of you, then you've been the cause of sin. As we know, one may not hit one's adult or grown son, because we say if you smack a kid when he's 15, he's going to hit you back. So one is forbidden to hit one's kid when once he reaches an age where he's big enough and angry enough that he may hit back. Why? Because we're not allowed to cause someone else to sin. By the same token, when we say that one may yell and say Yesh Mei Rabbah with all strength, that doesn't mean that one could do something that will cause other people to make fun of him. Yeah?
What's worse?
What does it mean to cause someone else to sin? What do you mean by that?
The example that you said, if somebody else is driving in Shabbat, you know, they have to check out some car and it's not on the brakes, or it's not, I don't know. You can think of different examples.
I don't know. We have a rule in general that we say that enom limna adam, we don't tell a person chate, you should sin, kedei sheizkecha v'chas, so your friend should merit. Meaning, let's say someone walked in on Shabbos and there's a burning oven, the oven was on, and he took a piece of bread and he stuck it, a pita, and he stuck it to the wall so that the pita will bake, and he walks out of the room. Now, if you quickly take an instrument and peel it off the wall of the oven, it won't bake and he won't have sin. But it is forbidden to peel it off the wall. We say that peeling a pizza off the wall, the way they used to have their ovens, it took great skill. And that was something that our sages forbade on Shabbos, because it's not exactly a melacha, but it is something that takes skill. So just like blowing a shofar is something that takes skill, So our sages said don't do it on Shabbos. By the same token, peeling it off the wall is something that our sages forbade on Shabbos, because it took skill to be able to peel a pizza off the wall and keep it whole and keep it good. So this guy walked in, he just did a transgression which he might be killed for. You're not allowed to bake on Shabbos. And you could save him from that, but you'll have to make a smaller transgression of doing what our sages said not to do. We say we don't tell you to do that. We don't tell you, you shouldn't do that. No. The question was asked, a person had his daughter abducted by idol worshippers. And he knows that if his daughter is going to remain with those idol worshippers, she'll grow up to be an idol worshipper. And he has to desecrate the Shabbos to save his daughter. He could put together a band of men and they'll go out and bring her back. So then we say, yeah, you do that. Sometimes we say, that's why I say it depends what. We say if someone else is drowning, you desecrate Shabbos the same, because it's not even called desecrating Shabbos. It's completely permitted. It's not that you're desecrating Shabbos to save him. For the sake of saving him, it is permitted to do all those actions on Shabbos. So it's a little complicated to define when which prohibition. In general, we say a person is not supposed to sin to save someone else from sin. That's usually the rule. But to say which is worse, if one has to choose from the two, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Well, so with the pita, what if you like do it with a chinoy or something? Like you don't try to screw it up, pick it up skillfully, just try to like scratch it off and just like shred it up. And
I don't know. Theoretically, maybe that would be good. I don't know. Okay. If you don't have 9 people listening when the Shliach Tzibur says Kaddish, you shouldn't say Kaddish, because you need 10 people, at least a minimum of 10. The one who's saying it, 9 people are listening. If one of the people is praying Shmona Esrei, so let's say you have 10 people present in the room, but some of them are still saying Shmona Esrei, so they're not answering, then it is okay. Now we say that being that they're saying their prayer, so up to 4 people could still be saying their prayer. So long as you have the chazan and 5 other people who are entering amen, if the other 4 are still saying the Shmoneh Esrei, that's okay. And people don't know this. Very often the chazan is going to wait to have 10 people to answer after him. Which is, ideally you should wait for everyone before you start again. Usually you can't wait for everyone, but if you could, you should. If you have a small minion, so you have one person who's taking a little bit longer than everyone else, ideally you should wait for that one person also. But very often the congregation won't let you wait. So you should know that the minimum is to have 6. If you have 6 people entering you and another 4 that are all standing, I'm sorry, 5, minimum is 5, and you have the other 4 are standing in prayer, they can't enter because they're still in Shmoneh Esrei, you could still say Chazrat Hashem. And here we're going to stop. We can pick up Mitzvah next week. Schaut denn